to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 11th of October, 2011, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KBOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and we're delighted to have our simulcast partners along KJAA AM 1240 in Globe, and in Cochise County, it's KAPR AM 930 out of Douglas. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of our previous programs. The Buckmaster Show can also be heard anytime at TucsonSentinel.com. The Tucson Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to 1 p.m. Today's lineup includes a newsmaker interview with Dr. Roy Flores, the Chancellor of Pima Community College, our Tuesday Money Maker Report. Shelley Fishman will be along. Then State Representative Cecil Ash, who says enough is enough with Arizona's tough stance on prison sentencing, and we'll close out the show with Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. If you would like to take part, and we encourage you to do so in the conversation, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Outside of Tucson, use our toll-free number 1-866-725-5467. You can also email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Well, the White House has planned for a high-level Hispanic gathering this Saturday at Pima Community College's West Campus. That gathering is now on hold. The summit was to bring together more than a dozen White House officials and leaders from federal agencies to meet with 150 or so local leaders to discuss jobs, education, health care, and immigration. Dr. Roy Flores is Chancellor of Pima Community College, one of the nation's largest community colleges. He joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dr. Flores, good to talk with you.
Good to talk with you, Bill.
I assume you're very disappointed with these developments canceling this summit.
Well, I don't know that it's canceled. We haven't gotten official word, but we would have preferred to have it on schedule and showcase the college and also Pima County.
Well, give us a little bit of the insight of why this meeting has been postponed or put on hold. I understand there were complaints that were directed to Congressman Raul Grijalva. Is that what you're understanding?
Well, I don't know. I read an account in the newspaper, but I think it had something to do with the new admission standards that the college has adopted, and that is that if you're at sixth grade and below, we're going to help you in a non-credit setting, and if you meet a seventh grade threshold, we will admit you to college courses. There's more to it than that, but basically that's a thumbnail summary of it. But you know, this is all a mystery to me. I'm an educator. I'm not a political theoretician, and I don't purport to even begin to understand what the problem is or what the issues are along these lines. We were just happy to, as I say, showcase the college if we got an opportunity to do that.
So
talk about the things that are needed here in Southern Arizona.
So you're not really sure, it sounds like, why this event has been put on hold.
I think I'll be reading about that in the paper more than anything else, but it's my understanding that there were objections by either the congressman and the people who oppose the admission standards, or perhaps both. I'm not sure which. And at this point, I don't know, and I'm not really interested in finding out. I just want to focus on educating people. That's what I do, and I don't want to get in, have the college get into a who done what to whom.
Talk a little bit about the opposition to the Pathways to Pima program, that which is now going to be taking effect next March. Why is this a good program? I know it's something you believe in very strongly, the Pathways program.
Well, briefly, it's a good program because the way we're approaching developmental education is working in some respects, but for those who are testing below seventh grade, it's really not working at all. So we want to try something a little bit different, more creative, more directed to meeting the individual students' needs, to address what they need in math and reading and writing, rather than shoehorning them into a particular class for a semester. We want to do diagnostics, find out what areas they're weak in, and then strengthen those areas and have them test again. And that's the approach. The other thing that the state law requires that for those who do not have a GED or a high school diploma, and that's of our enrollment, that we go ahead and that they demonstrate probable success in college. And we want to be in conformance with the state law, which was adopted in 2003 and then strengthened in 2007.
You wrote in an op-ed piece, Dr. Flores, that unfortunately myth has enveloped the college's plan to implement the much-needed and long-overdue changes to its admission standards. Do you want to set the record straight with a few of the bottom-line facts?
Well, the bottom-line facts are that to have an education system that's not working to anyone's satisfaction. If you talk with parents, if you talk with educators, if you talk with policymakers, they all agree that we need to improve the system. So pretending that somehow or other people that have very little preparation can come in and succeed in college is just simply a myth. And I think it's a cynical approach at best. The myth that we're turning people away. We're not turning people away. We're saying we'll help you in a non-credit setting if you're at sixth grade and below. And, you know, non-credit setting is where GED is. People coming to us don't receive college credit for GED preparation. Then they receive a GED when they pass the test. Now, parenthetically, the latest data show that if you get a GED, then your income on the average, the average American's income increases by 41%. Just the mere fact of graduating from a high school, getting a high school equivalent diploma, from being a high school, being a dropout, to getting a diploma increases annual income by 41%. That's enormous. You know, if you get that's greater than the percentage increase of getting a doctorate over a master's. And we think that's where we have to focus, making sure that people get a GED if they don't have one, making sure that we don't put them in a college setting where they're not going to be successful.
So the door is not being closed to any student that wants to come to Pima Community College?
No, the door is not being closed at all.
Pima Community College, your Northwest campus, has won a $2 million federal grant for programs to implement new ways to teach core classes. You've got to be happy with that.
Yes, we are. You know, we have a lot of wonderful faculty and administrators and staff, and we've been very competitive in getting grants, competing with colleges and universities across the nation. And you'll find that a lot of those grants are focused on improving instruction, improving education. That's the core of it.
Talk a little bit about how the situation is, your financial situation at Pima Community College, as we get ready here to start another legislative session in January.
Well, as you know, we were cut 55% by the state. So now only 3% of our revenue comes from the state, which, of course, is hardly, you know, it's a little over $300, and it costs us $6,000 to educate a student. So we're starting in the deep hole. Now, the good news is that I'm hearing and heard just this morning when we attended a joint meeting with the University of Arizona and their president and staff, Gene Sander and Jacqueline Mock and you know the other folks at the university. We heard a report that it looks like there's a chance that education, higher ed, will not be cut again. Well, for us, that's good news. But on the other hand, we're not going to recoup any of the enormous amount of money we've lost in the last 4 years. So it's difficult. That's why we're turning to grants and other sources of revenue.
So you're saying higher education cuts may, from what you understand, after this meeting that you had with University of Arizona officials today, your understanding is that there may not be in this upcoming session any further cuts to higher education.
Well, maybe, that's what I'm hearing. They're optimistic. We don't know, of course, because anything can happen, but we're optimistic that maybe we bottomed out in terms of all of these enormous cuts. But on the other hand, costs keep increasing, and cost of instruction, but everything else, you know, cost of electricity, everything else is going up. So we're losing ground even if we don't get cut.
Dr. Flores is with us from Pima Community College. In the remaining few seconds here, so getting back to the planned Hispanic Forum that was supposed to take place at Pima Community College this Saturday, it's not going to happen this Saturday, but you're hopeful that you can set another date.
Well, I'm hopeful that it will happen at some point. I don't know what the chances of that are. I know that we have to admire the instincts of the president for wanting to reach out to America, to the various communities, and listen and share information. And we hope that happens at Pima, just as it's happened in Nevada, and just as it's happened in Florida, and will happen in other places. I hope that we don't miss that opportunity. But you know, I'm sure they have a full plate and a lot of things to do. So we'll see.
Chancellor Flores, thanks for being with us on the Buckmaster Show. I hope you have a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill. Take care.
Thanks a lot. 12:17 now on the Buckmaster Show. That was Chancellor Flores from Pima Community College saying he's hopeful that perhaps that Hispanic Forum can be rescheduled at Pima Community College. Shelley Fishman is up next, our certified financial planner here on the Buckmaster Show. That's coming up as we continue on the Tuesday edition. Stay with us.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
The Arizona sun is intense regardless of the season. That's why you need Sierra Shutters and Sun Control, Southern Arizona's custom shutter specialists and proud supplier of O'Hare Shutters, locally manufactured blinds and state-of-the-art window tints. Our power bills are less after installing Sierra's 100% hardwood shutters and window tints in our home. Call Sierra Shutters and Sun Control 292-2212 or check out their extensive website, sierrasuncontrol.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain and Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And he's the one I always recommend for sound financial advice, and that's why I have him here on the Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman, good to see you.
Bill, how are you today?
Doing real well, and you've got a big smile on your face. I think that's a carryover from yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday was a good day. It shows you when I take a day off, the markets do great.
Markets do good. Today, they're a little bit flat.
Kind of flat today. Waiting for a vote in Europe from Slovakia about whether or not they're going to participate fully in the European Economic Community. And it's seen as a vote of either no faith in the bailout or what's going to happen again. You know, it's always about Greece these days.
Outside, there's, of course, and I think this Occupy Wall Street's been going on 3 weeks or something like that.
Four, actually.
4 weeks. Yeah. Is it having any impact?
I think it is. I think it's getting the attention of a lot of people in the press now and getting the attention of some of the folks in politics on both sides of the issue. What's clear is it seems to be very unfocused, but there is significant anger at what is perceived to be unfairness of the fact that the banks got bailed out, large corporations are getting bailed out, and individuals have to be the ones that do the sacrificing. I can understand the sentiment, and of course, anytime there is political pressure at one extreme or the other, it creates uncertainty. Uncertainty has an effect on the markets that is typically not stabilizing.
And I think you're on to something there, because I think the bottom line message, and there are all sorts of conflicting messages that the demonstrators are sending, but I think anger is at the key to this.
Yeah, and you could see it, 2 years ago with the Tea Party movement, there was anger at the core, and now there's anger on the other side, but it's just as angry. And, you know, anger is not necessarily the way to settle anything, but it is the way to get a dialogue started.
A lot of people were receiving their 401 statements
for the past quarter,
and I'm sure there were a lot of frowns when people opened the envelope.
It was a wretched quarter.
It was really bad. What do you tell your investors after a quarter like that, Shelley?
Well, what I tell investors is that if they're properly allocated, if we're doing the right thing, if we've got the right risk tolerance, if the time frames that are built into their portfolios are correct, a quarter is a quarter, ignore it. For those people who were, for instance, in fixed income in the past quarter, they had a decent quarter. They didn't lose money. So, again, it's really all about time frames and relating to the client's and the client's needs properly. If you opened up your 401k statement and you haven't been managing your 401k and you saw that it was down 12 or 15% and you gasped, then it wasn't a good quarter. On the other hand, if you have been managing your 401k and making sure that it's appropriately allocated, then it probably wasn't as bad as it could have been.
I understand you took a look at the movie Powerball. Wow. I've had more people tell me, Bill, you got to see Powerball.
Bill, that was one of the more important movies I've seen. I'm not sure they intended it to be, or maybe they did. But what Powerball is about is changing the paradigm in an industry from the old view of how you recruit and keep players to a new view of how you use information to build a team with huge budget constraints. And of course, the team we're talking about is the Oakland A's. And in 2002, 2003, that team was rebuilt using software and using mathematical models about not batting averages, but about getting on base. And it's about, a general manager who grew up in the old school, and he hires this nerdy guy who is really about as IT savvy as it gets. And within a season, he's able to rebuild the team and change the paradigm. And why is it an important movie? It's an important movie because that's exactly what's happening in industry today. That's exactly why education and really understanding how important the confluence of globalization and information technology, those things smashing together, have changed everything about how we do factories, how we do delivery of goods, how we do delivery and ordering our raw materials. When those things come together, and what it really means, Bill, is that the old jobs are by and large not going to come back. So our people need to be our people, our country, our labor working force needs to be educated in where the factories are going and where information is going, where medical information is going, where manufacturing information is going. And, you know, people who were really good even 10 years ago keeping up with technology, today they're out of date and they have to be kept up to date. And unless we continue to excel, or we get back and start excelling at that, we're going to become second rate. And again, I'm referring to the book That Used to Be Us by Tom Friedman. It is so important.
It's a new age, isn't it?
It really is.
Shelley Fishman is with us. And Shelley, where can folks get a hold of you? And there is no charge for consultations.
There is no charge for an initial consultation, certainly, once we have an agreement. There may be a charge.
Initial consultation.
795-7950 or www.shelleyfishman.com. And, I'm great for a second opinion. I'm also good if you've got a problem that you need to, a financial problem that you need to talk through. That's what I do.
And the connection to Pyramid?
Well, I work for Pyramid. I also work for LPL Financial. That is my broker-dealer.
And Pyramid has a great reputation
here in
town.
Oh, the best. Absolutely. I can't say enough about credit unions in general. I mean, you talk about, Bank of America now charging $5 to access your money? We would never do that at a credit union.
I hope not. No, it sounds very good. And Shelley Fishman, you always give very good advice. We highly recommend your services. Thank you very much, Shelley.
Have a great week.
Thanks a lot.
opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie is endorsing Mitt Romney for the Republican presidential nomination, saying that Romney has the perfect mix of private sector and executive experience in government. Authorities are revealing details of what they say was a bomb plot targeting the Saudi ambassador to the U.S. They're accusing the Iranian government of being involved in the foiled plot. Rudy Giuliani will not be running for president next year, the former New York mayor telling a gathering of business executives today that it's too late for him to join the field of Republican contenders. Updating Wall Street, heading into the final half hour of today's trading, the Dow down 27 points, the NASDAQ is up 11, and the S&P 500 index currently unchanged. More details at srnnews.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host on AM 1030, KVOI, the voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, along with our simulcast partners listening to us in Globe and Douglas. We have Southern Arizona covered for you here on the Buckmaster Show. Well, Arizona will be spending more than $1 billion this year on prisons, and the state has one of the highest incarceration rates in the country. This despite the fact that nationally crime rates have been falling for decades, but Arizona's prison population has climbed 50% over the past decade. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, the live line is Cecil Ash, Representative Ash is a Mesa Republican. He represents District 18 in the Arizona Legislature. Representative Ash, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
I want to talk a little bit about what you have been writing about. You had a very intriguing op-ed piece in the Arizona Republic laying out some of these options. You say Arizona has better options than paying for more private prisons. Do we need a criminal justice redo in this state?
Well, I believe we do. I believe it's certainly worth a discussion. And if we could get, we tried to have that discussion after my first year in the legislature. I requested the speaker allow us to appoint a sentencing reform committee, which he did. We tried to make that a joint committee with the Senate, but they were unresponsive, and so we just went ahead with a House committee on sentencing reform, and we did have a number of hearings. We had people come and talk about the problems they had experienced in the criminal justice system. And I think it's time to have a real serious discussion. Our sentencing codes, our current code was established in 1978. That's been enough decades past now that we ought to look at it and see if what we're doing is the right thing.
I want to go over some of these provisions to the criminal code that you would like to re-examine. For instance, granting medical parole to prisoners whose physical condition prevents them from being a threat to public safety. Restore incentives for prisoners to earn earlier release. You talk about giving judges more discretion in deviating a little bit from these mandated sentences where appropriate. Provide for more rehab and treatment programs for substance abusers. Allow DUI defenders who agree to refrain from alcohol and wear a GPS bracelet that indicates alcohol consumption to remain on home arrest. This would save, it would seem, a lot of money for this state, Representative.
There are millions of dollars to be saved, Bill, and I'm not saying that I have the answer. These are just some of the ideas that I think ought to be considered, and there may be problems with several of them. I'm willing to consider all the options, but I think the state is spending millions of dollars that it doesn't need to, that could go into other areas. And some of that actually needs to go into our prison system because they have not been receiving sufficient appropriations to maintain the existing facilities. And there's a tendency among not only legislators, but among the general population to feel like, well, they're out of the way, they're out of sight, they're incarcerated. We're not talking country club facilities. We're talking prisons that don't have sufficient heating in the winter or air conditioning in the summer. And as you know, it gets very hot in the summer. We're just talking the basic standards. When you take charge of someone's life and you put them away, then you become responsible. You become responsible for their medical care, for the food they're going to eat, and for their living conditions. And frankly, some of our facilities, some parts of the facilities have been closed down because they're no longer habitable. So some of that money needs to go back in maintenance. But there are also many other needs in the state in terms of health care and education that those groups, those special interest groups, would like to see more money used in those areas. So we're just spending too much incarcerating people right now.
Representative Cecil Ash is with us, a Mesa Republican, and as pointed out in Sunday's Arizona Republic, you have found virtually no support among your colleagues in the Republican Party for changing sentencing. That must be a point of concern for you.
Well, that I am concerned. It would be incorrect to say there's virtually no support, though, because there's various legislators, in fact, many of them from the Tucson area, who have come to me and said, I support what you're doing, and this is something we ought to address. The leadership that we've had over the last, and I've been in the legislature 3 years, and the leadership in the first 2 years in particular were not willing to consider these issues. And then last year, it was not so much the other legislators as it was, again, the leadership, and particularly the leadership of the judiciary committees where these matters are generally considered. So if you don't have the leadership on board, if they refuse to hear your bills, then nothing's going to happen. And I think I filed 8 bills, and only one was heard. And I kind of had to lobby a little bit to get that heard. And it went to the House Judiciary Committee and passed 9-0, and that was for a sentencing reform committee, just to have a committee to study our options and see what's being done in other states that makes sense. That passed 9-0 in the Judiciary Committee in the House, but then it died in the Rules Committee when the Rules Committee chairman refused to bring it to a vote in the Rules Committee. So basically, nothing made it to the House floor, but there are a number of legislators who have indicated support for the project in general, and I think they would be happy to discuss it if it could ever be brought to committee and then to the floor of the House.
What do you say about Arizona's tough sentencing laws as the reason, perhaps, for the state's falling crime rate? Maybe it's because we have such tough sentencing.
Well, that's the argument of the county attorneys, and I don't think that argument holds water. And we've seen other states, such as New York, who had some sentencing reform take place. They had very harsh sentences. They reduced the harshness of their sentencing, and their crime rate fell more than Arizona's crime rate has fallen. And our crime rate, the last numbers I saw, is ticking back up in the violent crime area. So I don't think that argument is supported by the facts of what's happened in other states.
What do you think about using more private prisons in Arizona?
Bill, I'm against the prisons. I think that obviously the motive of a private prison is profit. And the motive of the state for incarcerating people is not to save money, it's to protect the public and hopefully to provide rehabilitation programs so that in the long run, when these people are released from prison, they're no longer threats to the public. Our recidivism rate is too high in Arizona, and depending on the kind of crime, it there are different numbers for different kinds of crimes, but basically it's around 60% or 70% people reoffend at that rate, and there are many reasons for that. Some people probably will always be committing crimes, but some people can be rehabilitated. You have a great group, a great organization down there called Primavera. We just toured that last August, I think August 28th or so. And they did a government project, or they got a grant from the government, the federal government, to work with reentry programs for inmates, and they had a recidivism rate of 13% over a 3-year period. They were able to place people in jobs. They were able to prevent or to devise a program that gave people hope and substantially lower the recidivism rate. So we know there are programs that work, and we just need to be able to duplicate those programs in other parts of the state.
And you have said that the studies show that really these private prisons are not as cost-effective as the state-run institutions.
That's correct, Bill. There's only been one study that's been done, and in some respects it was not sufficiently thorough. But the only study that's been done that I've seen shows the private prisons are no more economical than the state prisons. And, you know, they don't have the problem with that is their motive is profit, and so wherever they can cut costs, they're going to cut costs. And they pay their executives enormous salaries, but they underpay the staff that is actually there with the prisoners. Private prisoners will only take minimum security people. They don't take people with health problems. They don't do any of the criminal background checks or any of the intake issues, so they really are performing less service than we get from our state Department of Corrections. So even if it's at the same cost, it's not saving us money because we're still doing a number of the services that the private prisons don't do, or we're doing it for them. We do all the transportation, we do all the medical, and we do the intake risk assessments, and the disciplinary problems are handled again back to the state. So the private prisons, in my view, are the wrong way to go. They're not, you know, if you have private schools, the person who utilizes the services of the school can always take their money and go elsewhere. The child's not getting a good education, they can find a different school. But if a prisoner is not getting sufficient food or not getting sufficient medical care, he can't take his business and go elsewhere, although obviously they'd love to do that. But they've got to stay where they're at.
That's
and
it.
So there's not the forces of the marketplace are not involved to protect the rights of these prisoners.
Cecil Ash, thank you.
There'll be some people. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to have to wrap it up right there. We're going to have to leave it there.
Sure.
Cecil Ash, thank you very much for being with us.
Okay, my pleasure, Bill. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Cecil Ash, a Mesa Republican, who says a criminal redo is in order to save Arizona some money. Stay with us on the Buckmaster Show. From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Sierra Shutters and Sun Control is the leader in quality hardwood O'Hare brand shutters in Southern Arizona. 100% customer recommended and satisfied. Sierra Shutters and Sun Control also has the highest quality blinds, shades, and state-of-the-art window tints that really make a difference in keeping your home cooler. Check out their extensive website at sierrasuncontrol.com or give them a call at 292-2212 for a free in-home estimate.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Well, 51 on the Buckmaster Show. It's time for the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. Tom Collier joins us. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And you?
I am doing very, very well. And you know, Tom, I was thinking, with the economy going south, what kind of rights does the consumer have when they may be a little late paying their bills?
Well, first of all, with the economy going south and may even go farther south, a lot of people who've never had to deal with a debt collector are going to get that dubious privilege over the course of the next several months or so. There are rights. You do have rights. The debt collectors, if you owe the debt, you're not going to get out from under it. Most people who are getting calls from debt collectors get desperate, and they just want the calls to stop. Well, there are only a few ways you can make the call stop. One is to pay the debt. Well, if you don't have a job or can't make payments, that's difficult to do. And frankly, the other way is to kick the bucket, because you can't get blood out of a turnip or money out of somebody who's no longer around. But that kind of draconian solution aside, you do have rights. There are rights that are spelled out in what is known as the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, which is a federal law that regulates debt collection, what they can do, when they can call you, what they can say. But it also says what you as the consumer, as the debtor, as the person who owes the money must do. A lot of people only pay attention to what the government says they can't do when they're harassing you or when they're calling you, and they don't pay attention to what the government, what the law says you must do in order to be able to respond. So that's at the federal level. That's the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and it's managed and regulated and honchoed by the Federal Trade Commission, and you can get more information on that at ftc.gov on the internet. At the state level, there is an agency in the state of Arizona that regulates debt collectors, and it's not the Attorney General's office, although you can complain. The agency in the state of Arizona that regulates debt collection and debt collection companies, and they must be licensed in Arizona, is the Arizona Department of Financial Institutions. It used to be the old Banking Commission, the state banking department, but now they're called the Department of Financial Institutions. And I believe at one time they did have an online complaint form that if you had problems with a debt collector, you could log on and file your complaint online.
What would be a complaint that you could file? I mean, what constitutes harassment when it comes to a debt collector?
Well, harassment is when they do nasty things like call you before 8 or after 9, because the law specifically says they cannot call you at odd hours. They can't call you at 3 o'clock in the morning.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Some of them do it. Some of them do it, though. They can't give they can't harass you by falsely claiming that they're attorneys or that they're representatives of the government. They can't claim that you have committed a crime by not paying your debt. They can't tell you that you'll be arrested if you don't pay your debt. They can't seize, garnish, or attach your property or wages unless they have a judgment from a court of competent jurisdiction that says they can. So if they say they're going to come in, and now the one exception to that is repoing your car, but they have to have a garnishment. They have to have a judicial order to be able to do that too. And they can't give false information. One of the things, and debt collection, by the way, is the number one complained about issue now before the Better Business Bureau, before the Federal Trade Commission, before those agencies with the government that are charged with consumer protection, harassment and misbehavior by collection agencies. But they can't give false information to you or anyone. They can't can't call your neighbors and say, where's that deadbeat Bill Buckmaster? He owes rah, 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 rah. You know, they can't call and say. And I, from personal
can
experience.
Can they call your the employer?
No, no, if you tell them no.
Okay.
They cannot call you at your employment either if you tell them not to do it. But this is the point. A lot of people who say, well, they, you know, they're still doing this. Yeah, well, there are laws against, you know, speeding, but people still speed. Mm-hmm. Just because the law's on the book doesn't mean that the debt collection, the collection agency is going to follow it. What you have to do is document, document, document in writing, and then you have to contact these debt collectors, these collection agencies in writing. Yeah, they can call you, but if you call them, that doesn't count. That really doesn't stop the harassment. That doesn't stop the calls. That doesn't document. What you need to do as a consumer is write. So you have to send them a letter, preferably posted by certified mail return receipt requested, which I think costs pretty close to $5 now. But what that does is it proves that they communicated with you. Let me sort of get off on a different sort of a different topic here. There are two kinds of debt that they can actually three types of debt that you'll probably get calls about. If you owe the money, you're going to have to pay it. Then there's a type of debt called zombie debt, which is where you were able to escape the statute of limitations on collection of a debt, which in Arizona is 6 years, and the debt still remains on the books. And so your creditor sells the right to collect that debt to a company or a collection agency that specializes in doing zombie debt. So this bill from the cell phone company that has since been merged and gone out of business and, you know, four or five times and is now morphed into somebody else from 7 or 8 or 9 years ago, suddenly you start getting calls from a zombie debt collector who's telling you you need to pay up. Well, first of all, because the statute of limitations has expired, you don't need to do that. But these are the ones who are usually the most abusive. There are procedures that you can go through. They have to document the debt. If you ask for written proof of the fact that you owe the debt, they have to document that. They have to send it to you. And there are time triggers. They have to do it within a specific amount of days when you ask them to do that. The other type of debt is student loan debt. That's eternal. That is eternal. They can try to collect on it forever. And if you were imprudent enough to co-sign on a student loan debt with one of your kids or with somebody else, then they can come after you forever, too. Student loan debt cannot be discharged in bankruptcy, can't be reduced. It grows and grows and grows, and it's one of those things that is, like I said, eternal. They can collect it forever, and the only way you can get out from under student loan debt is to repay it or to die.
If you pay these debt collectors or say you're going to pay a little bit of the money, will that get them off your back?
Sometimes, but actually, if you tell them, if they learn that you actually have resources to try to pay the debt, they'll get even more enthusiastic and call you more frequently and go to out of bounds in terms of ways that they can try to get more money out of you. It's really kind of one of those things where you want to make sure, again, that everything that you've told them, that everything that you've done, that everything that they have agreed to, if they're willing to accept payments or put you on a payment schedule, is in writing. And that's your responsibility, because they're not going to do that. And you as the consumer have to be prepared to sit down and write or type a letter, go to the post office, get one of those green cards. Mm-hmm. That's a return receipt, proof that you mailed it. Unfortunately, it's more work. It's less work than trying to dodge the debt and trying to dodge the calls. But you have to document, and you have to make sure that you have copies of everything that you've done. And I talked to them, or I emailed them, or worse, I've actually heard I texted them. That doesn't work. That's not appropriate documentation. It needs to be written. It needs to be in letter form.
So bottom line, you do have rights as a consumer.
You do have rights as a consumer if you're under a debt collection situation. And unfortunately, I think more and more people are going to have their first encounter with a nasty collection agency. But your rights are in writing, they're in law at the federal level, and you can get that information at the Federal Trade Commission, FTC.gov, and from AZDFI, Department of Financial Institutions, AZDFI.gov, and those have your rights and your responsibilities, too, because frankly, if you owe the money, you're going to have to pay it.
Okay, Tom Collier, always good advice. Thank you very much. Tom Collier. Collier, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. The entire list of Buckmaster Show contributors, more than two dozen folks, on our website, buckmastershow.com. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday edition. Tomorrow we have a newsmaker interview with State Representative Steve Farley. Don Martin, Downtown Science Center owner, will be here talking about some of the improvements being made downtown. That's tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, noon to one. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.